Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
It's pretty dope.
The absolute best choice.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. We roll on here. This segment now is going to be brought to you by Lustau Vermouth. Lustau Vermouth, get a little Spain in your life. Lustau Vermouth is fun. You do it over ice. You do it over ice with tonic water or club soda. You can pair it with your favorite gin and a gin and tonic. You break a little orange peel on there and a few drops of lime juice. It is refreshing. Lustau Vermouth, we appreciate their support of this show, and ask for it at your local liquor store. All right, joining us now, Dynamo midfielder Darwin Serén has been excellent in the last two games for the Houston Dynamo in a starting role. He has also captained El Salvador in CONCACAF, his national team. He joins us now. Darwin, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Well, Darwin, let's just first talk about, I know this game with Minnesota tomorrow night, there is an emotional feel to that because you did play for Adrian Heath in the USL with Orlando City. Then you graduated to Major League Soccer with him. Is this an emotional game for you?
Of course it is, because I know Adrian Heath. He is a very nice person, good coach. Every time he push his guy to do the best on the field, and it's a good challenge for me.
Tell me about the confidence of the team now and how important that win was at Sporting Kansas City, because this was a great performance, minute one to minute 90, the way you managed the game out, the way you guys played in the final third, and then the way you played as a team.
Yes, it's a very nice performance against Kansas City, so we have to continue with the good mentality, with the same attitude with the team. And, yeah, I think the team is ready to this challenge against Minnesota, especially we have to fight for our first win in home. And I think we all prepare.
You've started two consecutive games now. You've had excellent games. Todd Ramos told me you had a specific role against Dallas. It was to kind of help deal with Reggie Cannon and some of the people getting forward. Talk to me about that specific role, and obviously you carried it out beautifully.
Yes, I think it's a good opportunity to join the team. You know, my first starting game, it was good experience for me, specifically because Tab tell me, like, I had to support the left side because Cannon is a very good player going forward. So, yeah, I think the team is in a pretty good shape. And then for me, I think it's because I'm a player like always try to work hard, pushing myself to do the best possible to help the team, and I think I'm doing good.
Talking to Darwin Serén, he has captained El Salvador's national team. Two exceptional games for the Houston Dynamo, both against Dallas and then in the win over Sporting Kansas City. Darwin, when you get a specific task or role from a coach, do you like that?
Yes, I. You know, sometimes on the game happens, but you have the possibility to help with something specific on the game. If it's possible, do it. I take the responsibility to do it. And always like the challenge. Something is different and you have to push in yourself, and then you prove yourself in the field. It's awesome.
It's been a challenging year, I know, for all of you as players. But it does seem like you're playing the game with just, it seems more joyful. It seems more fun. It seems more competitive. Tell me about what it's like under Todd Ramos and why it's different now.
I think, we expect the team looks like we look now, because always we try to push each other in the field, every practice. I know the result is coming, and then only we have to work hard. Good competition between each guy, and then everybody is well prepared for the games. And now I think the attitude and the mentality of the team is every player is ready to jump to the team, join the team, and do the right things on the field and out the field too.
Has Todd Ramos given you more confidence, Darwin?
Yeah, he's the guy like always pushing, always want to push you to do the best for the team, and he know every player. He was player before, so he know the players perfect. And he's a good motivator. He always have a good words for every player to push into, to make a difference on the team. And that's why the team is all guys running, all guys pushing each other, and the result we see now. We are in a pretty good shape.
Darwin Seren joining us here ahead of the Dynamo Minnesota United tomorrow night in Major League Soccer. This game will be played at BBVA Stadium behind closed doors. Now, I've been to your beautiful country, Darwin, and I can tell you it is lush and green and beautiful. I was there as a commentator doing the Central American games, but in the 80s I played against FAS and Alianza and some of the players from that era, Jaime Rodriguez and Mexico Gonzalez. You're growing up in El Salvador. Tell me a little bit about it and what it was like, and maybe your influences in soccer.
It's nice. You see, it's a small country, but with nice people. We come in with the family, like always working hard. So it's nice to growing up and this before. Always thankful my mom and my dad, because they really good support me when I say I want to be a professional player. So they always pushing to do the right thing, to training good, to to take responsibilities, and it's now we can all enjoy that. My job, like I say always, the soccer give me all in the life, so I really enjoy it, and I try to bring something that the soccer gave to my family too.
Darwin Seren, Dynamo midfielder, joining us. So Darwin, what I noticed when I was in El Salvador, that everybody was either a Real Madrid or Barcelona fan.
Yes, everybody in El Salvador is a very big fans of Real Madrid and also the Barcelona team. I think half and a half is big fans in El Salvador of this team.
Now, you've been the captain of your country. That's quite an honor. Tell me about how that feels when, you know, you go out in front of your countrymen. I've seen you in the Gold Cup. I've called your games. Tell me what that feels like to be the captain of El Salvador.
It's a good responsibility. You know, it's a dream coming, because I always think about playing in my national team. I always dream play soccer for my national team. And then when you are the captain, it's more responsibility. But I enjoy it too, every game, every single game. I enjoy, I do it for myself, I do it for my family and for our supporters in El Salvador.
Now, there's been a realignment of the qualification process in CONCACAF, and it's made it a little bit more difficult for El Salvador. Tell me how you feel about that.
I disagree because we already have a good spot to fighting for the spot in the next round to qualify to the World Cup. But now it's become a little bit more difficult to join. But I think the team fighting for the spot and we try hard to take that spot again.
So for the game against Minnesota United, it's a team that's lost a couple games now. They seem to be lacking confidence. Does that make them a dangerous team tomorrow night?
I think they come in to this city like with the intention to take some points because I know Adrian and he always liked the team pushing and liked the team like always. Never give up, always fighting. But we have a good chance, good opportunity to take another 3 points. I know we are well prepared, and then the heat is a good fact that can help us because we're from here. So I know it's difficult playing that heat, and they maybe suffer with that.
Yeah, we all suffer every day, that's for sure, with the heat down there. And you guys in training every day, you're getting very used to it. Last one before I let you go. How about your relationship with Matias Vera on the field in the last two games?
That's good. Good. Mati is a very, very good player. He is a young guy, always like working hard. And we talk about we all need to work hard on the field to take the team in a good performance. And he is doing a good job. He is doing a good job. He understands what Tap say, what Tap need from him. And he is a talented player. We don't have a doubt about it. And now we think in the next game we have a Mati everywhere in the field help to the team to push to another win.
Darwin, thank you so much for coming on the show. Exceptional play in the last two games. I wish you the best of luck against Minnesota United, and thanks for taking the time out to join us tonight.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Darwin Seren, midfielder for the Houston Dynamo. Hey, real estate agents, are you tired of paying high commissions splits to your broker? At NB Elite Realty, you get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing. Plus, they offer low transaction fees, free investment training, exceptional support, and no hidden fees. Visit the website, nbeliterealty.com, or call 844-444-NBER for more information on how to join the winning team. Don't wait. Start your journey to financial freedom today. It's NB Elite Realty, nbeliterealty.com. We'll take a break. It's a loose style vermouth break. We're coming back with more.
ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
I'm Vlad Kendanovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
You grew up watching these players, and you grew up, you know, idolizing them and playing with them on video games, and then you end up, you know, saying they're your teammate now. So it's definitely a dream come true for sure.
All right, welcome back to the show. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, the presenting sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler, call the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-HURT, they're bilingual. Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with John and his firm. Okay, we are going into what is a very interesting interview here with the legendary author Tom Clare. Tom has written books like Deepest Red. He's written Forever a Babe, all about Manchester United. He grew up there. We are going to do a two-part interview, starting with part one right now, talking about the legendary George Best. Well, Tom, the first personal experience you had with George Best, I found it incredible. You're playing for the Preston North End B team. He's with the Manchester United B team. What do you remember about that first encounter with George Best?
Well, it was a great day for me because obviously being raised in Manchester and being a rabid Manchester United fan, to be actually playing against them, it was a dream come true, really, even as a young boy and even at that junior level. And I always remember it because it was a cold November morning and we used to play on a pitch at Fulwood that was part of a pig farm. And, the surface, it was always very heavy, especially in those winter months. And I always remember when we came out, there was no warm-up in them days. So you used to come out and as a goalkeeper, the forwards used to fire a couple of balls at you, 5, 6, 7 minutes before the start, and then we'd kick off. But as we lined up to kick off, I'm looking over to our left-hand side, and there's this young boy, this young sort of very fresh-faced, dark-haired young kid, stood virtually shivering on the touchline there with his grabbing the cuffs of his shirt. And it was funny because we had a first-team player called George Ross, who was coming back from injury. And George was playing left-back, which in those days, George Best was George Ross's man. He marked George Best. And George was a very physical player, I remember thinking, oh, well, where have they got this kid from? You know, he's going to get a rough time. Well, by half time, I mean, the only person who had a rough time was the Preston North End B team, because we went in at half time 4-0 down, and George had run absolutely havoc with us. And he's 16 at this time, and to see this kid close up with two amazing feet. I mean, he could go outside, inside. He had an electric turn of pace. And George was the main instigator of the four goals we conceded in the first half. I mean, he laid them on a plate for the centre-forward, who was Barry Fry. And he was just phenomenal. And I can remember being in the dressing room with our coach, and George Ross was going mad. He was going to kill George. What he was going to do to George in the second half. And the coach just said to him, he said, George, son, he said, you've not even seen, you don't even know what he looks like. He said, all you've seen is his back going down the touchline. and we lost, we eventually lost the game 6-0 or 6-1, if I recall rightly. And coming off the field, United had an inside forward called Barry Grayson, who had played with in Manchester Schools football. And as we come off, I shook hands with Barry, and I said to him, I said, who is this kid over on the right? He said, George Best. And I said, where have you been keeping him? He said, I'll tell you. He said, he is special. He really is. He said, he's special. I remember coming off and thinking, they've kept this under wraps. And it transpired later that they'd done that on purpose. They didn't want any, publicity surrounding him. They kept him low-key. And, of course, the following year, he started to break through. He went into the reserve team. And then, of course...
Let me break in and just reset. We're talking to Tom Clare, a very noted author. You can get his books on Amazon. He's written the book called Forever a Babe. Tom is from Manchester, as he just mentioned. Also wrote the book, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, about the Munich air disaster, Deepest Red, a lot of great books. Recommend you pick up one of Tom's books. All right. So then you're there at his debut in 64 against West Bromwich Albion.
It was actually 63, Glenn. It was the 14th of September, 63, when he came in. And I remember I'd been released by Northend in the April of that year, you know, and I was absolutely devastated as a young kid. But I went to see some of United's games, and then in that September, I was stood on the Stretford end, actually. And the announced George was playing on the right, you know. And I heard some mutterings around me, you know, well, you know, West Brom had a good team at that time. And they had a Welsh fullback called Stuart Williams, or Graham Williams. And they were saying, you know, this kid's going to get killed by this guy. And I just thought, you know, I thought, little do you know, you know, what he'd done to me in that game the year or so previously. I mean, he had a great debut. He didn't score, but you could see he turned Williams inside out, and that was it, you know. And that was his debut game. And then he didn't play again until I think it was the Boxing Day of that year. They suffered a defeat at Burnley, and they used to play back-to-back games in those days around the Christmas time. And the following day, Busby made changes, and he brought George back and another 17-year-old kid called Willie Anderson, another Irish kid. And they were the wingmen in that game against Burnley, and they absolutely murdered Burnley 5-1. And George scored his first goal in that game for the senior team. And, of course, the rest is history. He was a permanent fixture after that.
Talking to Tom Clare, the author of Forever a Babe, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, were talking about the legendary George Best. And you were kind enough to give me a book called Blessed about him, which is his book. And the other day I caught the 30 for 30 on ESPN about George Best. You know, after I watched that documentary, Tom, you know, there's so many different emotions that go through your mind, but it really is a sad ending to this man's life because of the alcoholism. Tell me what type of young man he was in the beginning, because you've always noted to me that he was shy.
He was exceptionally shy. Very, very early on, he was exceptionally shy, was George, you know, and he was the normal sort of 16, 17-year-old kid from next door. And, of course, he didn't live in you know, in these big houses or anything like that. He lodged in a little, what we call, council house back in Manchester with a lady called Mrs. Fulloway, who's just a local low-cost housing estate. And George and David Sadler actually shared the digs there. And he was very, very much, you know, just a quiet lad. And that was pretty much the same. He befriended Mike Somerby, the Manchester City player. Somerby had come to Manchester City from Swindon, and they got on really, really well. Somerby was a fashion man, and they opened a boutique in Manchester, and George opened the first one in Sale, which was the one I showed to you. Yes. when we were over last December, and George opened the boutique in Sale, and that was his first sort of putting his toe in the business world. He did pretty well at first, and the drinking side of it didn't really start until after 1969. That was when, you know, the first sort of signs of George sort of going off the rails.
Did winning the European Cup have anything to do with that? In other words, they reached the pinnacle. Why all of a sudden, you know, I mean, the trappings of fame. I mean, they called him, he had the Beatle haircut. He was fashion. He was handsome. The women were around him. It just kind of went off the rails.
Yeah, it all exploded for him when they played Benfica in 1966, I think, 67. And they went over to Estoril and stayed outside Lisbon. And then they played Benfica. And United were, you know, they were expected to lose the tie, actually. And George ran riot. He ran Benfica riot. They'd not lost a home European Cup tie at that time. And George absolutely tore them apart. And there's a great story. Before they went out, Busby told the team, play it tight for the first 15 minutes, he said, and then, you know, let yourselves go. Well, after 15 minutes, they were 3-0 up, and George had scored twice. And coming in at half-time, Busby looked at him and he said, I see you didn't listen to me again. You know, but they won that game 5-1, and that was when the El Beetle thing came, because he landed back in Manchester and he had a great big sombrero. And that's where the first real big fame, the first superstar started. And then, of course, the next time they were in the European Cup, 67-68, they got to the final, and he played a huge big part in winning that trophy that year. And it was just a privilege to see him play. But after they won it, the sad thing of it was that team was starting to get old. And the thing was, they were the senior players. They had an attitude, unfortunately, that, you know, well, we've won it all now. What more have we got to do? You know, and there's no doubt about it. I mean, even though they reached the semi-final of the competition the year after, they did take the foot off the gas. And players like Dennis Law, Paddy Creran, even Bobby Charlton, they were starting to get to the end of the road in their careers. And the sad thing was that Busby decided to retire. And there was a change in coaching. He brought in a 32-year-old ex-player, Wilf McGuinness. And the problem was that one or two of the players were older than Wilf. And just hold on. Sorry about that. Some of the players were, you know, they were older than Wilf, and they'd also been friendly with Wilf. That was the big thing.
Always an issue.
And they didn't replace players. That was the other great thing. I mean, one of the big problems was the fact that they never replaced Bill Foulkes, and they could have had Mike England for £200,000, but Busby was still in the background. He vetoed a lot of the players that Wolf wanted to sign. And George got very frustrated at this time, because he wanted the team. I mean, you've got to remember, when he won the European Cup, he was 22 years of age. And by 1970 time, he played almost 500 games at top level. You know, he was 24 in 1970. So these lads had had their careers. And there was George. You know, he got a full sort of 10 more years at top level at least left, and he got very frustrated because he wanted the team built around him, which, when you look at it back then, it was a sensible thing to do.
Tom Clare, the noted author, joining us here, grew up in Manchester. We're talking about George Best here, the legendary Manchester United player. Tell me a little bit about George's relationship with his first manager and how important that was.
He was very, very close with Busby. I mean, Busby was like a father figure to him. He really was. I mean, him and Jimmy Murphy, and Jimmy especially, I've got to give Jimmy a lot of credit here. They nurtured George, and they brought him through in the right way. And he was very, you know, you could say that they were very close. It was like a father and son relationship. But it was after Busby decided to retire that things started to go a little wrong, and there was funny things happened. Like Busby told him, you know, he said, look, why don't you settle down, why don't you get married, settle down. So the next minute he meets a Danish girl while they're on tour called Eva Haraldsted, and he brings her home, he brings her back to Manchester with the intention of getting married. So Busby calls him into the office and he said, what the hell are you playing at? You know, why, you know, you don't even know the girl, you know. And George is there thinking, you know, well, 5 minutes ago, you're telling me to settle down and have you, and now I'm getting roasted for it. And it got to the point, I think Matt was getting old, you know, and the generation thing was there. And George used to say, he said, whenever I got called into the office after that, he said he'd be talking to me. So a lot of the time, he said, I was daydreaming. He said he had wallpaper that had ducks on it. And he said, I used to count the ducks while he was talking to me.
Talking to Tom Clare here, the noted author, Forever a Babe. You can get his books on Amazon. Was he naive in some ways? Coming from Northern Ireland to Manchester?
I wouldn't say he was naive. I would say he was very vulnerable. And the reason I say that, Glenn, is that obviously when you achieve, he was the first real superstar in soccer. Without doubt, without what any people say, George was that first superstar. And with that comes all the pitfalls with it. The people that the hangers on, you know, the people that surround him. And George made some bad decisions. There's no two ways about it. And there was some people who got close to him who really did take advantage of him. So naive, no. But it was just sad. And one of the big problems that happened with George, he was such a nice person that he could never say no to people. People would ask him to do this. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do that. And of course, it got to the point where it was just impossible for him to do everything. And of course he started to get a reputation then. And it was sad to see what eventually happened. And when he started drinking, he had a big fallout with Frank O'Farrell. O'Farrell came to United, and this was the last hurrah really. And this was sort of 71 time. O'Farrell had replaced Wolf McGuinness, who'd been sacked. And for the first 5 months of O'Farrell's reign, the team contained the great players, Best, Charlton, Law, Crerand, but some of the younger players coming there, Stepney. And by Christmas time, they were 5 points clear. They were 5 points clear at the top of the first division in December 1971. But then something happened, and they never won another game till mid-March. And they finished down, I think they finished in eighth that season. And there was a lot of unrest in the dressing room. The senior players, again, didn't like Frank O'Farrell. George didn't like him. Frank O'Farrell did some silly little things with him. He sent him to live with Paddy Crerand. And Paddy said, well, you know, he said, who am I? You know, to sort of be responsible for George Best.
Job in itself at that time, right?
Well, exactly. He said, how could I put the shackles on George? He said, I couldn't. He said he was my best friend. You know, he did some silly thing. Then he suspended him, fined him. And George then started to not turn up for training. He started to put weight on. And in the end, it led to the situation where, he just said, that's it, I've had enough, you know. And there was no trust between him and O'Farrell.
Okay, that's part one with Tom Clare. We're going to come back with part two as we continue our wonderful discussion about the legendary George Best. Nebo Bandovich was the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. After finishing his career, Nebo went on to build a real estate investment empire worth millions of dollars. He wants to teach you how to do the same. Follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic, Bandovic, on Instagram for daily investment tips, secrets, and more information on how to be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. That's at Nebo Bandovic on Instagram, Nebo Bandovic. Stay with us. We've got more to come.
That.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the Houston Dynamo in action against Minnesota United. You can catch the game on Channel 55. Eddie Robinson, myself, and the third member of our team, Cindy Bourbano. Lustau Bermuth, a big thank you to them. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustau is fun, whether over ice with tonic water, club soda, or my favorite, paired with your favorite gin in a gin and tonic with an orange peel and a few drops of lime. Lustau Vermouth, L-U-S-T-A-U. Ask for it at your local liquor store. Okay, final segment of the night here. More here with the great author Tom Clare as we continue to discuss George Best. Where do you rank him amongst, you know, I mean, this is a game that everybody plays at Manchester United, the fans of it, and around the world. Best, Law, Charlton, Cantona, Ronaldo, Beckham, on and we go. Should we even be trying to place him in some level of the greatest? Is he the greatest ever Manchester United player in your eyes? Because you saw him.
No. You know my answer to that. The greatest ever Manchester United player for me.
And I didn't mention him either, which I should be beaten up for not mentioning with you here.
It was Duncan Edwards. But you've got to remember that team that George played in, three Ballon d'Or winners, Best, Law and Charlton. I don't think any other team's ever done that.
Unbelievable.
As to where he stands in the game, he definitely, you know, one of the world's greatest players, without doubt. When you go back and you look at the career, the era that he played in, and some of the tough players that he had to play against. Oof. You know, I mean, George used to get, I'll believe you, if you'd see his shins sometimes after games, George used to get kicked to hell. But the same thing with George was he had the heart of a lion. You know, if he lost the ball, he was like a pit bull terrier. He'd be back after you. You wouldn't see George rolling around on the ground.
Plus, the other thing that I've seen in footage of him, his ability to ride tackles probably made him less prone to
balance. His balance was uncanny. Balance, and that was when I first saw him, when I played against him. That's what struck me, how balanced he was and how quick he was over that first few yards. And I always remember seeing a game later on when they played Chelsea in a League Cup tie. And he was down near the Stretford end, out wide on the left-hand side where we were sat when we went last year. And the ball comes over to him, and facing him is Ron Chopper Harris. And George just put his foot on the ball, and he beckoned to him. You know, he kept waving him, come on.
Like a bullfighter?
That's right, yeah. And he's got his foot on the ball, and Harris is watching him and watching him and watching him. And then all of a sudden, Harris dives into him, and George just rolled the ball away to his other foot, and he was gone the other side. And Harris ended up over the touchline. And his ability, they talk about the Cruyff pullback and everything. George was doing that. Players were doing that in the 50s anyway. But he had an abundance of skill. And the other thing, in the early days, George was a very good trainer. They talk about Cantona. But back in the 60s, George used to do a lot of extra training. And his ability, for a guy who was only 5'9", he was also very good in the air. And he scored a lot of goals with his head. He had this natural ability. And if he got a player on his heels, you could forget it. That guy was gone. And Bobby Charlton used to say, you know, I remember being at a dinner and Bobby was talking about George, and he said he used to frustrate the hell out of me. He said, and he said, I'd make a run. He said, and I'd give the ball to George. He said, and be off, expecting the return. And he said, it never came. He said, and there was a game. He said, it happened in this game. And he said, when the ball had not come back, he said, I thought, that's it. Never again, George. And then all of a sudden, he said, the ball was in the back of the net. Oh. And, he was saying, what a goal, George. What a goal, George. You know, that was the thing. All great players can be frustrating, you know. But great players are great players in any era. I don't care what anybody says. They would evolve in any era. I would have loved to have seen George play on the pitches that they have today that are like manicured. You know, you look at some of the surfaces that he had to play on. And people ask me, do you think the 1968 European Cup final was his greatest game? And I say no. I say his greatest game for me was against when he played for his country, Northern Ireland, against Scotland in 1967. On a mud, absolutely glue pot of a pitch at Windsor Park in Belfast, and he was up against Tommy Gemmell, who was Celtic's fullback at the time and one of the Lisbon Lions. George played Scotland on his own. It was an incredible performance, and I still think, I think there's some YouTube clips of that.
Unbelievable.
He made the goal that beat Scotland that day. But there were so many great performances from him, and you know, you talk to players of his era, and they will tell you, you know, just how good. I mean, Leeds used to kick him to hell, but they also had the greatest respect for him. You talk to players like Paul Reaney and, you know, Billy Bremner and people, and they would tell you, you know, he was unplayable at times. And he was just one of the world's great players, and he's up there with the best of them.
Talking to Tom Clare here about the legendary George Best. You know, we talked about his ability to ride tackles, his balance, and all these things. He was a complete player, though. I mean, he had a range of passing over distance, short. I mean, talk to me about his qualities, because I think sometimes people just see him as a dribbler and a goal scorer, but he did more.
No, it's the old thing, Glenn. You know, you can have an abundance of skill, but you've got to have that little bit extra. And George had it. He had a huge, great heart. He had an appetite for the game. But George was a workhorse. You know, you'd see him. He'd put his shift in every game. He never shirked it. He'd be back. He'd be back defending. He'd be attacking. And that's the other thing. You know, for somebody 5'9" and just 10 stones wet through, you know, 140 pounds wet through, he could tackle. And then you get a tackle off George and you knew it, you know. He was just that great all-round player. And he there were times, yeah, he would frustrate people, but that was George. It's what you got with him. But he was always the guy. You know, he would see things before other players. And Dennis Law used to say, he said, for all the frustration, he said, the number of goals that George made for me with his movement, you know, he said George would make runs and he'd take players away, he said, so that I could drift into that play, you know, into that place. And Paddy Crem's a great friend of mine. Paddy talks about him. And he said, whenever I got in trouble, he said, I knew where to find it. You know, he said, I instinctively knew where to find George, you know. And he said, no matter what type of pass I played to him, he said, he'd kill it, you know. He said he'd make something of it. He was a terrific player, you know. I mean, just one of the world's best, and very privileged to have seen him.
Tom Clare joining us. Well, I'm going to have you wrap it up about him. And I just want to say another thing. You know, this is one of the guys we would list all time that we wish we had seen in a World Cup, and he never got that opportunity with Northern Ireland. But if you sum up his life and career, is it a combination of agony and ecstasy? I mean, he could tame any defender in the world, but he never was able to tame the bottle and alcohol, and he just kept going back to it. I'm sure he had people try to help him. How would you sum up George?
All I would say is that I just wish people would remember him for the football, because that's what he was. That's what he gave to us. He gave millions of people so much pleasure during his career. The alcoholism side of it, I get a little bit annoyed with people when they go on about him wasting his career and what have you. We've got to, you know, people have got to remember alcoholism is a disease. You know, it's not something you can turn on and off. You can't do it. I mean, alcoholism is an awful disease. As anybody who's lived with anybody with that will tell you. And the saddest thing was, you know, I mean, he had the liver transplants, but they didn't work. You know, and the ending was sad for him. It was patently sad. But for me, the legacy he left was on the football field. The other stuff. You know, the press people who tried to take advantage of him, who wrote lots and lots of nonsense about him. George's legacy for me is what he left on the football field.
Tom, thank you so much. Through the eyes of you learning about George Best, pretty amazing. By the way, you took me to his boutique. You showed me the area where he lived when I was in Manchester with you. And that was a trip that I'll never, ever forget. And for that, I thank you.
Oh, no, it was a great time, Glenn. I really enjoyed those 5 days. It was just so nice to show you Manchester, to see what a great city it is, to show you the club that I love so much. I always remember walking around the stadium with you on that Saturday morning and then taking the pictures of you stood in front of the statue of Best Law and Charlton.
Holy Trinity.
To have you at my testimonial dinner was It was just such a privilege.
Oh, you know, I was more
so glad that you had such a great visit.
I got to see it all through your eyes, which I don't think there's no way you could have seen it in any better way. So again, I thank you. And by the way, when's our return trip? We're going soon again, right?
Well, let's hope that it'll be in May. You know, I mean, let's hope that this travel ban is lifted by then, and we can meet up. Our old friend Brian McClair is coming. Alex Stepney's coming. David May is coming. Ben Thornley. There's going to be Paddy's coming. Paddy Creran. There's going to be some great people there. You know, and it's on the 21st of May next year.
Tom, thank you as always, and we appreciate you being on the show.
My pleasure, Glenn. It's always a pleasure to see you, and I look forward to the next time we're together.
That'll do it for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 tonight. Again, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT, DaspitLaw.com. They will work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Also, to NB Elite Realty, NBElitereality.com, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, and Lustau Vermouth. Podcast of this show at podcastarena.com and iTunes. Until next Tuesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.